Welcome to the first lecture about graphs and trees. Maybe you have heard about graphs in chapter 2 when we spoke about plotting a function and so, but this is something completely different. And by the way, we had directed graphs in chapter 8 to illustrate relations. That's the D graphs will appear here also. Okay, what's a graph in this context? Well, it's a set of vertices V or nodes, we can call them also, and a set of edges E. Often we can think of E as a subset of the Cartesian product V cross V. And it's, of course, we want to make pictures of these things. And I here have an example here on page one with five vertices, X, Y, Z, U, V, I labeled them. And if you count, there are 10 edges. And you could think of that there are five people around the table and they handshake with each other, all of them. So there are one edge for each handshake. And you could think of, you had the directed graphs, that if you think of it, X is related to Y, then there was an arrow from X to Y. But you could also think that if it's a symmetric relation, Y is related to X, then there is an arrow from Y going to X, and we cancel these arrows and we get what we said, an undirected graph. So here is an undirected graph, and it's a beautiful figure. It's a pentagram inside a pentagram. And this graph is also called simple because there's only one edge between two vertices. But we will also consider what's called multigraphs. Middle of page one, I have one here with four vertices. And four vertices and six edges. And you see with the left, the two vertices to the left, there are three edges between them. You could think of three roads between two cities or something like that. So we cannot always say that the edges are a subset of the Cartesian product V cross V, but often it is. And we can have loops also, only one vertex there with make a figure eight. We have a loop above going back to the vertex and one going down. So this is, we say there are two edges and one vertex. And as I said, all these graphs are so far are undirected. And you have already met the D graphs, a last example there on page one with arrows, then four edges and four vertices and three edges. And this is also a simple one, no multi connections between two vertices. Okay. I turn page, and in the book there mentions something about the VVV graph. Already back in 99, there were around some billion vertices and edges in this graph. And then you could think one vertex for each web page, and if A page A links to page B, there goes an arrow from A to B. There are some interesting things about this VVV graph in the book. Well, it's not so easy to find on the web now. I wanted to update this information, but I just Googled on this before this talk, but I couldn't find so much. Okay. We turn to page section 9.2, graph terminology and special types of graphs. And now it's mostly for undirected graphs. Mostly. And I illustrate, there are a lot of words here now, and I illustrate them with graphs. Take just an example here. G1, that's what is X, Y, W, Z, 4 vertices, 5 edges. And you have the notation there to the right of how the number of elements in a set. And often we have a small e for the number of edges. And we say that two vertices, I take Y and W here, are adjacent, since there is an edge between them. We don't care about how long this is, but if there is an edge, they are adjacent. Närliggande på svenska. The edge Y, W is incident with Y and W. Incident with. We speak about degree of a vertex, and that's the number of edges attached to it. And X has degree 3, in fact, because there is this loop there, so it's counted both coming in and going out. So this degree is 3, and Y has also degree 3, and the other two have degree 2. And now comes the first theorem, quite obvious one. If you sum the degrees of the vertices in a graph like this, you sum the degrees, then you realize that you count each edge twice. So this sum must add up to 2 times the number of edges, 2e. And you can check it for above for the G1 graph there. We had 5 edges, and that gives 10. And 10 is equal to 3 plus 3 plus 2 plus 2. And there can be odd degrees of, we had 2 examples here, but we can state then that always an even number of vertices with odd degree. In any graph, there were always an even number of vertices with odd degree, because 2e is an even number, and we must have an even number of odd numbers to create an even number. Page 3, and there comes a D graph again, a triangle with some arrows, and we say that U is initial vertex to this edge, U comma V, and V is terminal, since there is an arrow going from U to V, not the opposite direction. And we can speak about incoming degrees and outgoing degrees, minus and plus. They are denoted with minus and plus. So if we take U as an example, there are no vertices coming, no edges coming into U. So the incoming degree is zero, but there are two outgoing. So the outgoing degree is two. And if you sum the incoming degrees, you get the number of edges. And if you sum the outgoing ones, you get the number of edges. Some interesting graphs that appear often and have special symbols comes here. First, the complete graphs. We had one already on page one. You five people and they shake hands with each other. And you can think of this for the complete graphs. One person, K1, we denote it, has no one to shake hands with. Two people, K2, there is one handshake, so it's a straight line. Three people, K3, that becomes a triangle. Everyone is connected. And K4, that's four people around a table. And I give two versions of K4 here. It is in some sense the same graph there. First I draw the square and the two diagonals. Note that there is not a vertex in the middle there. It's it's not a vertex. There are just two edges that are crossing each other. And you could see it in the next drawing of K4, where I take the edge, one edge going outside to avoid such a crossing. If these are electrical circuits in a plane, maybe we have to avoid such crossings that could cause damage. So maybe then we have to make an electric circuit like in the second case there without such a crossing. Okay, and we have cycles. If we have three vertices and more, we can go around in a cycle. So, and they are denoted C3, C4, and C5, etc. And I have given three examples there. Triangle, square, and pentagon. And we have wheels. One center that is connected to all other in the circumference. W3 and W4 are there. Maybe you should try to, how many edges are there in Kn, the complete graph with n vertices, and how many edges are there in the how many edges are there in the wheel with n vertices, n plus one vertices then. You say V4 had five vertices, yeah. There is one center and four around. Can you see, get a formula for this? Maybe you can prove your formula with induction. We turn page four. And now we come, there is also another common graphs that are called hypercubes, Q1, Q2, Q3, etc. And Q1 has two vertices, and they are represented by binary strings of length 1, 0 and 1. And you draw an edge, you have an edge in between them if they differ in one digit. So 0 and 1 differ in one. So Q1 is this is the same as K2 then.
We have K2.
Straight line between two vertices. Q2. Well, then there are bit strings of length 2. We have 4 of them, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 1, and 1, 0. And if we draw, we see 0, 0, for instance, must be connected with 1, 0, and 0, 1, since these bit strings differ in one position. So Q2 is the same as C4 we had at the square. And try to do the Q3 yourself. Then there are bit strings of length 3. There are 8 of them. And then you will see that this will become the cube itself. That's why it's called hypercubes there generally. That's the way we draw cubes on a piece of paper. Try it. I turn to another word here. There are a lot of words today. Bipartite graphs. Bipartite, what's that? Well, there is two groups of vertices. I call them here upper group V1 and another lower one there V2. And in this case we have 5 plus 3, 8 vertices, and there are edges, there are 7 edges. And the special thing with the bipartite graph is that all edges go between the two groups. No connections in inside groups the set V1. No edges inside the set V2. So that's the definition of a bipartite graph. And here it's, as I made it, the drawing there, it's obvious that this is a bipartite graph. But if I make another drawing of it, it can be a little bit more difficult to see if it's bipartite or not. But here comes a simple test we can do for to check if it's bipartite. If you can color the vertices of a graph with only two colors, say red and blue, in such a way that no two adjacent vertices have the same color, then the graph is bipartite. That means that we get a red group and a blue group, and I have denoted them here in the figure R, and with red and the lower group with B. So you can test yourself on the graph lower part there of page 4. Is this really a bipartite graph? Try with two colors. Start, say, to the left there, and make it red. Then next must be blue. They are not allowed to have the same color if there is an edge in between them. So you have to start out red, blue, and so on. Try to see if it works. If it works, Then it's B by teeth. And we have, as we have it, K1, K2, K3, and so we have complete B-patit graphs also. I give two examples here. K3,3. The red gang has, the red group has three vertices, and the blue group also has three vertices. And there are edges going from all of them to the other, so the degree is 3 for every vertex there. And also K2,4, two vertices in the red group, say you could say, and 4 in the blue group. I turn page. And now we are at page 5, yes. Here comes an important concept. I take K4 there as an example. A subgroup of K4 is, for instance, this L-shaped graph there. We have generally, we have a vertex set V and an edge set E. And if we take another graph, then we had that it has a vertex set W and an edge set F. And the latter one is a subgraph of the former one if this W is a subset of V and the edge set F is a subset of the edge set E. And you can see here what I did in this particular example. I took three of the vertices, not the lower left, I skipped, and then I included some of the two of the edges, but I skipped this arc going around there. So this is a subgraph of the L-shaped one there is a subgraph of K4. Section 9.3 representing graphs on computers, then it could be good with matrices again. I just show this, I don't think we need it so much. There is something called the adjacency matrix. If there is an edge, then we put between two vertices, then we put a 1. So in this case, it becomes a 0-1 matrix. We had seen this in chapter 8. But of course, if it's a multigraph, then there could be two edges in between. So then we could have other numbers there in the matrix, except 0 and 1. And I take this B-patit graph we had the previous page. And now I have an ordering of these vertices. The red group there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and the other one is blue group is 6, 7, 8. And if you look in my matrix here, you see a 5x5 block that is completely 0. And a 3x3 block, the lower right part there, where also only zeros. And that's, since it's a B-patit, that there are no edges, and no edges between the red, inside the red group and inside the blue group. And if we look at this adjacency matrix, tricks. We can take, for instance, the first row there, and we count up element 1, 6 is a 1. And that the reason for this is that if you look in the graph, there is an edge between element 1 and element 6. So that could be something for computers and analyzing graphs. You could think of huge graphs, of course, that this could be interesting. Remember the VVV graph has billions of elements, vertices. Maybe we could think of the brain also as a graph. We have this neural network, thinking of the brain as a neural network. And there is even a subject of that's called random graphs. If an edge is there or not, that there is a probability for an edge or not. And my brain is sometimes a random graph, it seems. Sometimes there is connection, and sometimes it's not. It's the same for all of us, I think. Okay, here comes, we have seen a couple of times that graphs, we had this with K4, you remember, I had the diagonals crossing each other, and then I made a redrawing of this to avoid that. And we want to catch this concept of similar structure, that the two graphs are really the same. They have the same structure. And we finish off here with this concept. Two graphs, G1 and G2, are isomorphic, they say, if there is a bijection, a function, from vertex set 1 to vertex set 2, such that, and here comes why it's called an isomorphic. If A comma B belongs to the first vertex set, then it implies that then must the images of these two vertices belong to the edge set of the other graph, G2. So if there is an edge in the first one, then it must be an edge in the other one, and vice versa. Isomorphic means same structure. Bijection, what was that? A function, you know, that is onto and one to one. So we say there is a one to one correspondence. So let's have an example of this. To the left there, I have a graph with the vertices are labeled U1, U2, and so on. And to the right, V1, V2, V3, and so on. And do they have the same structure? The first thing one could do is to check, of course, one should check the number of vertices. That's the same. There are six vertices, yes. How many edges? 9 in both cases. We could check the degrees of each vertex. Well, that's 3 in all. For all vertices, it's the degree is 3. So that sounds promising. Are they isomorphic? Yeah, then we should come up with a function there. Which one corresponds to U1? Which one corresponds to U4? And so on. And remember now that if there is an edge between U1 and U4, and it is, then there must be an edge between the images. A good way of thinking is this, is that you say that these, you think of these edges as something elastic, with like rubber bands, and you have them on the board, and can you move around these vertices for the one to the left and get this structure like you have to the right? Well, in this case, I think it's pretty obvious. You move your rubber bands. I think I should take U1 and U4 and move them inside the rectangle. How will it look like then? I think if we think of it in that way, we come up, can come up with this function rather, in this case, rather easily. So think of rubber bands, move around them. No violence on this. Don't cut them, just move them inside on the plane. Okay, that was the first lecture on graphs. Then we continue with circuits and such things, paths, next time. Bye.